Welcome, everybody, to the loudest podcast on the internet. I'm your host, Asterios Kokonos. With us, as always, is Sarancho.
Hello.
It's fair to say I'm a loud person, right?
Very much so.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure that we're on the same page. There is a very loud noise that has come to define not just our relationship, but my entire recovery from the tragic breaking of my leg. Rancho, would you care to make that noise for us?
Of course. Now, everybody turn your... I'll give you a minute, listener. You can pause the recording right here if you'd like to go get your Bose headphones, the ones that go over your ear.
The Quiet Comfort Q16s or whatever.
Okay, ready?
That's the noise, yes. Rancho has been making this noise at me pretty much for the entire recovery period. Rancho, would you care to tell us the story behind this noise?
Pretty fucking funny, isn't it? One day, Asterios wakes up making that noise, like, just in the middle of the night. And it's like, I'm having a heart attack. And I was like, the fuck? And then you were like, just kidding. No, I'm not. And then I was like, okay. And then I went back to sleep.
Okay, that is a very abbreviated version of the story. But the night after after I was released from the hospital, which took forever, I was like, oh, thank God, I'm in a nice, comfortable hotel bed. Giant bed, too. We could barely see each other from one side of the bed to the other. We're watching South Park on the TV. Everything's going great. I drift off to sleep. Then all of a sudden, I wake up and my body feels like it's being electrocuted and I jump out of bed, which is incredibly difficult to do when you've broken your leg. So my body just involuntarily wakes up out of a sleep, jumps out of the bed. I go, whoa!
That was very good. You did it much better.
Oh, really?
Yeah, than I do. That was much more accurate.
Thank you. And then I scream, I'm having a fucking heart attack, call 911.
I don't think there was the F word in there. You were more composed.
Really?
No, you were more collected than that. You were like, call 911, I'm having a heart attack.
Okay. And then walk me through your kind of reactions to everything that was happening.
I was mostly like, what the fuck? And then you were like, oh, wait, no, I'm alive. And I was like, okay, so you're not having a heart attack? Cool. And then I went back to sleep.
No, that is what happened. So there's this thing, listeners, when your nerves are suddenly deadened by, let's say, like the shattering of one of the most important bones in your body, and your nerves come back to life like at random times, and it feels like you're being electrocuted by Emperor Palpatine. It feels like he's giving you the old lightning hands. But inside your body, but it really does feel like you're having a heart attack.
And when you feel that feeling, listener, you go, woo!
Yeah, so sometimes I'll wake up and Rancho will be like, morning, I noticed that you woke up this morning without going, woo!
Yeah, it's like a weird ghost Mario scream. I don't know how to describe it.
You're doing a pretty, good job of making this noise. It's like if you pulled on a bird's tail feathers all of a sudden.
I don't think any bird on planet Earth has the larynx to make that noise. That's a human-only noise.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You don't think one bird does? Okay, so here's the noise I make. Ooh! Which is, help, call 911. No, wait, don't. But here's the noise that a popular bird makes, the bird that was almost our national bird.
That what a turkey.
That's a turkey
like.
Going.
Turkeys go gobble gobble.
No, they go.
Is that what a gobble
and I go.
Like?
You never heard a turkey?
I don't think I have up close in real life.
You gotta talk to a turkey one day. They're so cute, and they sound like they're drowning all the time. I know that doesn't sound cute, but it is cute.
Is there any turkeys at a petting zoo? Listener, there is in California. There's a petting zoo I've been dying to go to. I have to add that to my little list of things I want to experience. What's it's called, like the Gentle Barn or something. And these people are like really hardcore about, like in your face, about the fact that they don't eat animals. So they rescue animals and they have like disabled turkeys and shit. And every year they make the same exact joke. And it's the bitch that runs it gets on the camera and is like, hey guys, we're going to teach you how we prepare a turkey for Thanksgiving at the Gentle Barn. And then they go to the turkey and they put a little hat on and they say, Karen, it's Thanksgiving. And the turkey just stares at nothing. And they say, and that's how you prepare a turkey here, because we don't eat them, they're our friends. Do you get it? You're emotionally preparing this turkey.
Now look, I love Thanksgiving. I think it's both of our favorite holidays. Do you think Thanksgiving's your favorite holiday?
Yeah, I do, but you didn't let me finish the thing about the turkey.
Oh, I'm so sorry, please.
I was going to say, there you can pet turkeys, and they seem pretty down with it. But do you think that's because, like, turkeys are a common petting zoo animal, or do you think because those turkeys are disabled? They're just down with more.
Okay, now look, you know me. I'm not one to make light of our differently abled friends.
Feathered friends.
Feathered or other. If a turkey was mentally challenged, how would we know? You know what I mean? How do we test them? How do we test? It's not like a regular turkey knows if you put the ping pong ball in the cup, he gets a treat. I don't think you could teach that to a turkey.
I'm just imagining a turkey, like them finding out the turkey's blind by the turkey, like screaming at a random like side of the pen for 40 minutes.
They do that all the time. They're scared. What if that thing comes to life?
Yeah, so I think that'd be the only place. I don't know if turkeys are common petting zoo fare, but they should be.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree. Why aren't we just going to run away from it all and open up a petting zoo?
Petting zoo doesn't seem like our thing.
Really?
Yeah, you know, I think we want to keep all the animals to ourselves. I think we'd be too overprotective of them. Also, it's kind of funny when they fight. That would make me not a responsible petting zoo owner, both kids and animals. Like, one time when we were in California, we stopped at some place that was like, they were breeding chickens, and they had a whole pen. It was like the size of a refrigerator lying flat on its side, full of baby chicks, and it was so cute. But on the side of the refrigerator, there was a mirror placed the whole way along it, and they let the rooster just like walk around inside, and the rooster would occasionally like see itself in the mirror and get like really super pissed off and then realize it's its own reflection and then walk away and repeat that multiple times. But I don't know, the owners seem pretty entertained by it.
Here's what I've heard about birds, because we all think they're stupid. We all think that when they see a mirror, they see another bird they want to fight.
Yeah.
Recently, according to an article that was summarizing a study that was probably summarizing another article, they made a mirror with a camera in it that looks exactly like reality. Because you know when you look into a mirror, that's the mirrorverse in there.
Right.
Everything's topsy-turvy, shoes on your hands, toothpaste on your feet. When you make the bird see itself for real, not flipped, it do recognize itself.
Oh my God, it does?
Yes.
Holy shit, how do they know if the bird recognizes itself?
I assume because it doesn't immediately try to either attack or fuck its own reflection.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
They know!
That's so funny. There's somebody who posts on, I'm in this little local like Facebook group, and there's somebody that posts every day. There's a cardinal that comes to their window and chills there, I guess because there's bird seed. But every day the cardinal catches a glimpse of its reflection and then just like doinks itself on the window like six consecutive times before it gets bored and eventually leaves. And the lady takes pictures of it and posts it every day. It's really cute.
Now, if that lady would replace her window with an LCD screen attached to an HDMI camera, that bird would be doing zero boinking against itself.
The bird would boink into it and break because she got the AliExpress version and fly into her house.
It is cheaper. You got to admit, it is cheaper. Speaking of birds, Rancho, we're living out in the country now. This is something we've never really talked about. We're living out in the country. We're two city, go-go city people, and now we're living it slow and easy on the farm. True or false?
True, that is true.
There's something that's happening in this house that never happened in our Brooklyn apartment. Would you care to tell people more about it?
Yeah, Reddit. There is multiple things you gotta learn about when you live in a house instead of an apartment. And one of which is how to get things out of your fucking space. So we've had so many goddamn birds, like, just materialize in this house. I don't know. The first time I saw one, it was pretty kind of fucking fun. I mean, the second time. The first time it flew in through the door, we chased it out. That's all well.
Now, when you say we, Are you sure you don't want to revise that?
Oh yeah, no, I was doing all of the because you're fucking afraid of it. If you're gonna be afraid of something that's flying around, you gotta just move out of the way. Or you gotta have like a stationary job, like the job where you put the blanket on yourself and stand in the doorway to obstruct it to stop the bird from like going into the living room. You can't have a chasing job because when the bird flies at you, which it frequently will do, you like panic and fly and run, and then everybody's upset and pissed off. So I have the first bird flew in the door. That's all well and good. The second bird, I woke up. I was just doing the things that I do, minding my own business. I turn and I see a bird sitting on top of my sofa. I had to chase that thing out. I've developed a bird strategy at this point. I'll tell you about that later. And then the third time, there's a bird fucking nesting above my goddamn door. And I open the door and the bird flies in again. I had to chase goddamn motherfucking thing out. Anyways, there's lots of birds. They're attracted to this house like moths to a felt covered flame, but I have figured out a bird getting out strategy. Okay. Here's to the Reddit. If there's ever a bird in your house, here's how you get it out. Okay. If it's nighttime, much easier, but here's what you can do. I looked up how to get a bird out of your house, and the first thing that pops up is a Reddit thread, and it's like, well, if it's night, go outside and shine a flashlight at your door. And it's like, well, that's great. Why would a bird be in my house in the middle of the night? Anyways, so first thing you gotta do is you gotta wear the fuck bird out. You gotta just chase the bird around aimlessly, like try to keep it in a confined location that'll be easy enough to get it out the door, but you gotta just tire that sucker out. Like, just play the game, just chase it around a little, get near it, swat at it with a towel, just get it tired, because unlike bugs, birds will get tired and then they're easy to grab. You can grab them. So from there, after you went like 20 minutes with the bird around your space, then you want to either get a towel and grab it, or you want to open up your door and then take a flashlight or something bright or your phone, and you put it like slightly outside the door, even if it's bright out. Like, if it's the middle of the day, you can like close the curtains in the other side of the room. Try to make it just unappealingly dark on one part of the room, and then just like towel that bitch, just like chase the bird, and the bird will at least try. Usually that works. That has worked. That's what's worked for me.
Now, when you say towel that bitch, someone might think of that you would take a wet towel, wrap it up like a noodle, and snap the bird in the ass like they did to Uter.
Yeah, pretty much. Just like get a towel.
That's not what you're doing.
Get a towel, wave it around a bunch. That's what they did.
You're wrapping. You're trying to like cradle the bird in the towel. Or like sometimes, I think one time you put like a towel on the end of a broomstick. Like, you're being very gentle with these home invaders.
There's two options. Like I said, after the bird is tired, if the bird is like so tired it's completely given up, then you can wrap it with a towel and just kind of throw it out into a bush. Or you can also scare it with a towel by like flapping a towel around. Then the bird will like move. That's how you get the bird to move. That's the mechanic you have to use to get the bird to like move in a random direction.
Okay. No, thank you for telling me how to use use towel on bird. Now, this is interesting. I feel like it hasn't really been stated hard enough. Three different wild birds have flown into our house and we've been here for less than 6 months.
Yeah, what the fuck?
How many wild birds flew into any place you lived ever in your life before this?
I don't think ever.
Me neither. Suddenly, in 5 months, three birds. I think it means lucky house.
Lucky bird house.
Because the birds, they want to be in here and hang out with us. There's not like seed around. There's not big trees. We're giving off a good bird-friendly energy, and the birds just want it. They want to be part of our lives.
Exactly. They know. I think it's the fact that our heater is running, but...
Could be. Look, it could also be that, obviously. It's cold out there. But still, it could be that they see you and they see our little lives, our little Amazon packages you're picking up, me watering the garden, us hanging up Christmas lights, and they're like, this is wholesome as fuck. I gotta get a... What if these birds have like a parasocial relationship with us?
Oh my God, what if the birds are on YouTube?
Keep going. Follow that thought.
They know. They know they found us. They've tracked us down. They found us. They're entering because they want to say slurs on the internet.
Okay, this just got a lot less wholesome.
They want a platform to say slurs.
They want a platform. The birds want this?
Listen, you gotta trust the way that bird was looking at me. It just had slurs in its eyes.
Okay, I'm just going to pivot us back. The second time you encountered a bird, you just turned to your left, and there was a live bird on the couch. And you sent me a picture of it, and I was like, what are you talking about? There's no bird here. And you were like, no, look closer. Teeny tiny bird. How much did that, like, fuck up your Tuesday that, like, all of a sudden you're in the living room and it's like, I guess birds can just get in here somehow.
It was so, I was like, what do I do? Like, how do I get the bird out? And then I was like, is there any route where I could just ignore this? Like, is there any way I can convince myself that it'll just be fine if I just ignore it? Like, I don't know. Maybe it'll go out through the heater again. And I tried, and I just couldn't mental gymnastics my way out of getting off my lazy ass and doing something about the fucking bird in the house.
That was also my first instinct. The first time we saw a bird was to just be like, this really isn't that bad.
Yeah, no.
It's a teeny tiny, it's not like a pigeon taking like just dropping bombs left and right. Like a teeny tiny bird.
It's a little bird. It'll like probably be here tomorrow. Let's just like leave it. Like, what's it doing? What's it gonna do?
Yeah. That was my thought too. Until, of course, it starts flying at me, and at which point I lose control of my body. A bird staying absolutely still, I can walk up to it. Maybe stick my finger out like a perch, hope it hops on. Anytime the bird moves, it looks like a big scary bat coming at you.
Yeah, they fly.
it's like a little demon. Like, I understand, what is it, the Chinese, they believe in bird spirits?
Yeah, there's bird spirits in Chinese folklore. Yeah,
in Chinese folklore. I get why they're freaked out at bird. It looks like it's got a million feathers and a billion colors and it's coming right at your face.
As I was chasing that bird out, I was like looking for it. I'm stepping around. I'm looking for it. And then I see its shadow behind the beige curtains. I'm like, oh, I got you now, motherfucker.
Oh, my goodness. Great. Look, I'm trying to like be the man in the situation, which is I should try to stop doing that. Like, so I'm like, I'll take care of the bird. You relax. The bird comes at me. Well, not at me, at the Swiffer wet dry I was holding up. I was trying to coax the bird to hop on the Swiffer wet dry. And then I would just throw the whole Swiffer wet dry out the door was my plan. So the bird flies at me, and then I break a bunch of stuff. Remember, like, how much glass I broke?
Yeah, you were standing next to, like, a shelf, and you, like, just went, backwards, and then broke a bunch of stuff fell off the thing. And that was when I was like, if you're fucking afraid of it, you just need to get out of the room then. But, no, I feel like if it were any other animal besides a bird, you would have been, like, able to mitigate that situation. Like, be easier on yourself because it just happened to be, like we rolled a 7 on the pass line. Like, that's my specialty is birds. Getting birds out of the house, apparently. I fucking guess.
You've done it 3 times.
Successfully, now. Yeah.
One of the things that we broke that I'm still upset about is someone gave us a triangular-shaped spaghetti holder. Imagine a vase, but made of glass, but instead it's like a triangle, like a kaleidoscope.
I remember that.
But for your spaghetti.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we don't eat so much spaghetti that we have to take it out of boxes and put the spaghetti somewhere else.
Yeah, we just put the spaghetti in the box and then put the box on the shelf. And then when we want spaghetti, we get spaghetti.
Yeah, exactly. We're not adding steps to the spaghettining process.
Exactly.
The other thing that I broke...
The soda stream?
I broke the soda stream.
Well, that was God breaking the soda stream, because why do you need a soda? I never got that. It's so cheap. Sparkling water is so fucking cheap. Why would you want to make your own?
It doesn't. It's too much. Look, soda stream, nice try. It was fun for a while that we could all make our own sodas.
Right. Like, I get it if you want to do it with your kids, but that doesn't seem like a $300 appliance fun time for me.
Yeah, look, I feel like this is the fate of all soda streams, is to just be broken while someone is trying to get a rat or a spider out of the house. It's like soda streams, they're no longer there to, like, nourish us with delicious water. They're more there to add Foley style sound effects and general hijinks.
Oh my God, that's the bullshit appliance of, like, you know how the boomers had their own series of bullshit appliances, which were like bread makers. Like, what the fuck? Who has a fucking bread maker? Why would you want a bread is so cheap, or at least it was when they were selling bread makers. Now we have the Soda Stream. What's the current version of that? Maybe the countertop ice makers?
You want a countertop ice maker, though.
I do, because our fridge doesn't have like a built-in ice maker. Most of the new fridges have like a built-in ice maker, so we have to still use the trays like fucking pilgrims.
Okay, but to be fair, you got some pretty bitchin' ice trays for
us. I do. I have some nice little ice trays, but they're probably made of like BPA silicone, and they're giving us cancer.
Well, if you want your ice to be shaped like Hello Kitty's face, which I do,
you're gonna have to take a little bit of cancer with that, and I get that. So maybe we should switch to like the balls. I want one of those machines that make like you know, the chip ice.
I think I know why you want it, and I think that's why I don't want you to have it.
Why?
I think you want it so you can dip the ice in orange juice and suck on the ice like the models did in the 90s.
I wasn't even thinking about that. What the fuck?
That's the only reason people want these ice makers. These ice makers are for anorexics. It's to give them something to occupy their mouth that has no calories.
My first thought is that I really want to make the ice that, like, I don't really know how to describe it. It's like little tiny cubes. You know what I'm talking about? They have it at, like, games. Sometimes they're little tiny cube shape. And for some reason, that ice in a styrofoam cup is just, like, colder than other. It should be studied.
You mean the ice that looks like little pills, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay. That is really good ice.
That's good eaten ice.
That's very, very good. Look, I bought the ice tray that makes the ice orbs that you're supposed to put like your whiskey in.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
It's fucking bullshit because it doesn't work because when you put the tray on, you're supposed to like fill it through this tiny, tiny hole on the top. And then if you overfill it, then the water expands, obviously, and it bursts out of the tray. And then you got one big like fucking Lego shaped ice cube instead of four little individual spheres.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's always like half a globe, and then I might as well have just used a regular ice cube. But I'm guessing you want this ice maker because it's popular on TikTok, right?
No, I have not seen an ice maker. I want like a good countertop ice maker. Like I talk about an espresso machine. I want the ice maker and the espresso machine to be like on the same level. Like I want them to talk to each other and to not have like class disputes. I want them to talk to each other about how like, yeah, maybe Ronald Reagan, we should revive him. Like that's the vibe I want for the ice maker.
You want an ice maker that if you tried to put tap water in it, the ice maker would have like an allergy attack.
It would call the police immediately.
Yes, the Karen of ice. Okay. All right, now I see where. Are you sure you came up with the idea of wanting a countertop ice maker all by yourself? Everything you want at some point was on TikTok.
I mean, I don't know where I came up with this idea. You know what? I do remember. I was pissed off because we didn't have any ice.
Okay.
And I was like, internet, give me a solution. Like, what is the solution to this? Do I need to buy a new fridge? Is there a machine? Is there an appliance? And it turns out there is an appliance.
Okay, wait a minute. You're convincing me now. If I can go from no ice to some ice, in a minute?
Very quickly.
Wait, so it's an instant ice maker.
Yes, because we're currently using our freezer as like a meat chest.
Yes.
Like a frozen meat chest. Like it looks like fucking Jordan Peterson's stomach in there. So we don't even have room for ice trays. So we have like one or two lone ice trays at any given time. And it's fucked up. It's not enough ice, especially for how much water we drink.
No, we do drink a lot
of water. We've become violently hydrated in the last year.
You know what? I'm going to tell people about my violent hydration real quick. I took my first trip to the urologist the other day.
Oh, how'd that go?
Heaps was a nice guy. He was a real, like, kind of Garden City, fast-talking kind of Jersey urologist where he was like, hey, what are we doing here? What's the problem? Hey, what's going on?
What's up with your urethra, buddy? I'm looking at your pee hole. I'm sounding here.
Yeah, exactly. I told him one of the problems I came in for, and he was like, You got to talk to a phlebotomist about that, not me. What else you got? And I was like, what? I was like, my doctor sent me to you.
What was the problem?
There's sperm in my urine.
Ew. How is that possible? Gross.
Something happens after like a major surgery or something. Like
it's, oh.
Something can happen to you where like, look, because like when you break your leg and they put like a titanium rod in your leg, like your body don't know what to do.
What's that got to do with your pee hole though?
Speaking of being violently hydrated, I started to have to piss my pants so often and so bad that I was like, I'm going to go to the urologist. I'm going to go to the like the pee doctor. I'm going to Dr. Piss.
Yeah, it's fucked up and annoying how much you have to go to the bathroom.
I do have to go to the bathroom. You want to tell listeners about my bathroom habits?
It's just like fucked up and annoying, listener. It's like being with a fucking toddler. It's like being with a fucking toddler. Like you'd be just doing something like, okay, I need a bathroom fucking now or I'm going to piss my pants. Like no buildup. No, like usually normal human beings. It's like, hey, just putting this out there. Can we start looking for a bathroom? Like, we don't need to rush out of the store. Just like within the next like hour or two, just let's maybe go get something to eat. I can use the bathroom. We could get a coffee. But no, seriously, just like, all right, I need the bathroom now. Bye.
When we lived in New York City, I would often run out of the subway. When we got right? to
what the fuck? That was so fucked up. You'd get off the train.
I would run out of the subway and then run to the gym, which was closer to the subway than our house. They would recognize me. So I'd like run right past security, be like, I'm sorry, I gotta go. Go to the back, piss. Rancho has to walk home alone in the New York City night.
Yeah.
Although you could have gone to the gym with me. You just always chose not to.
I'm too embarrassed to be with the guy that only uses the gym as a bathroom.
Not only uses the gym as a bathroom,
okay,
but it was a very important part of my gym membership.
I'm embarrassed to be, let me rephrase that, I'm embarrassed to be with someone who uses the gym as a bathroom with such urgency.
And that's what it's called. It's called urinational urgency.
Gross.
It's called like bladder urgency or piss or, the word urgency is in there. So I'm like, Dr. Piss, like what's going on here? Like, why do I gotta pee so much? And then, of course, the first thing he asks is, he's like, well, how much water are you drinking? And I was like, oh, gallons and gallons a day. Is that affecting anything?
Yeah, do you think that might be influencing this?
You were there for when I talked to my doctor about this, remember?
Yeah.
We were both like, huh, maybe drinking like 12 cans of sparkling water a day and 3 cups of coffee and a super big gulp of Diet Coke might make you piss a lot. Why didn't we put that together? Why did I have to spend $50 to go to a urologist for this?
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes we should think about this with other things.
Yes, like, we should.
What could the excessive caffeine consumption be causing? What kind of problems?
Apparently caffeine just destroys the male piss sphincter.
Nice.
I don't know what it's called. The prostate? What controls my... Something controls my ability to piss. It's like a piss sphincter. Because the urologist was like, have you ever tried to do that thing where you have an erection, but you try to move your penis? And I went, oh, yeah, all the time. And I was amazed by how quickly I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, constantly.
Nice.
I can really get that. I can make it... I can manipulate it like a puppet a little bit.
That's cool. I didn't know that was even human, like physiologically possible. It makes me think of all the other cool stuff. Like, listeners, can men crack their back just by contracting the lower the muscles in your very lower back?
I bet we could if we really wanted to. We just don't want to.
Like, I don't know if this is just, maybe this is just me or maybe this is women, but I can contract, like, the muscles covering my tailbone, like, yeah, right in that area, and I can squeeze them really, really hard and, like, crack the lowest two segments of my spine, and it feels really, really good.
Oh, those are your baby, I'm not kidding, those are your baby pushing out muscles.
Gross.
Yeah, those are your haunches.
Shut the fuck up.
Those are your haunches.
No, they're not. You have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about.
When you squeeze your lower back, at like your haunches kind of swell up, and then usually that's where the baby shoots out of you. Like,
you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You're disgusting.
Well, anyway, I'm not saying I could fucking burp the alphabet with my dick, but but if I have a full erection, I can make it bounce in time to music without using my hands.
It is impressive. It's funny.
You know what? That's what I've been fishing for, and thank you for saying it. It is impressive. Doctor was like, yeah, those are male Kegels. And what you need to start doing is when you wake up in the morning, you got to start trying to move your dick, but when your dick isn't hard. And that will strengthen the male piss sphincter. He told me to do it, okay? He told me to do the Kegels.
Can you do it? Is that the only way to do it? Or can you do the thing that, because women, they tell you when you're taking a piss, it's just to like piss hard and then suddenly stop the stream and then piss and stop and piss and stop. And that's how you strengthen your, they're called pelvic floor muscles. Oh. That's what controls the violence with which you can piss.
Okay, now if a man tried to do that, it would cause excruciating pain.
Really?
Can you just stop your stream and
feel
no consequences?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like comfortable,
right?
Because your body's like, no, why, what? But it doesn't hurt.
It hurts us.
Really?
Like the closest thing I can think of to compare it to is if all of a sudden you were pushing your fecal leavings back in. Ew. That's what it feels like. It's like, whoa, God, no. Because it's like the piss is almost to the promised land. So like when you shut it off, it starts shoving the piss back up your penis and back into the balls.
I'm trying to understand why this hurts, though.
It hurts.
I don't get it. No, because it doesn't. Theoretically, if it hurt to push urine back in,
yes,
then it should hurt women too. Like, what's the deal?
I'm not kidding, and I think this is the case. I think it's the velocity.
The velocity?
Because when girls pee, from what I'm told, it just kind of comes out.
You're full of shit. You don't know shit. You don't know shit from a hole in the ground. We can piss like crazy.
You guys could piss like a racehorse?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? Like a fire hose, bro.
You can control it?
Yes.
Then how come you guys can't piss standing up?
I mean, because it sprays. Like, it's not... Okay, let me explain.
Okay.
You can't aim it. You can't aim it. You can't pee standing up because you can't aim it.
Okay.
You just go straight down.
So, see, it just going straight down makes it seem weak to me. If I could aim it, I would agree that it was strong.
I mean, okay, so you can control it by, like, pushing harder. Like, if you push harder, then it'll come out faster and, like, you turn a fire hose up. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But if you have too much pee in your bladder, you can't, you have trouble controlling it.
Okay. Well, look, the urologist would never recommend such a course to another man. It hurts. It's like someone shut the door on your penis. It's like someone slammed half your penis into a book.
I think it hurts to hold your piss in sometimes.
That was actually the second exercise the urologist gave me. Really? He said, the next time you have to pee, hold it in as long as you can, until the urge to piss leaves your body. And I've been trying, and it hasn't left my body yet.
I don't think that's how that works. I think you got to get it out. Does he know that?
Maybe he thinks I have, like, phantom piss. And so that's why he's, like, holding it until the kind of the phantom pain goes away. But, like, I was up here, and I was like, I have to piss. Okay, start holding it in. And then, like, 30 seconds later, I was like, if I don't go to that toilet, I'm going to die.
Yeah, why the fuck would it go away? You still have the pee in there.
He said it would go away.
That's fucking stupid.
Okay, well, listen. Look, I gave the $50 is gone. There's no refunds on that. He's already got my copay. So that's what he told me to do. But look, I thought that all of this was because of a prostate issue. I was like, oh, okay, there's cancer. My prostate is 100% cancer. So I go to my first doctor and I'm like, you know, this is happening. I got this piss. I was like, do you want to, I was like, I don't know, maybe it's an issue with the prostate. I'm over 40 now. If there's any, you know, tests we have to do. And he was like, you're in luck. I will not be giving you a prostate exam today.
You got it so lucky.
He said, because actually the current medical science is don't touch guys' prostates too much because when you boop them, they get like very reactive and inflamed. And he was like, I don't want to boop your prostate because then when you go to your urologist, you're going to have a softball inflamed, engorged prostate, and he's going to think that's cancer.
I wonder how they came to that conclusion. Like, they got a bunch of, like, the Surgeon General got a bunch of doctors together, and they were like, okay, so what are we thinking about? Anything new with the prostate? One guy was like, yeah, I've noticed something weird. Like, you know how we're just booping them over and over and over again? Turns out they don't like it.
The only thing I ever think of when I think of a prostate, I think of a couple of things. One, I think, wasn't there like a Blink 182 album cover where like a nurse was putting on like a rubber glove?
Yeah.
For some reason, the entire 80s and 90s was prostate exam jokes. Just like people like really like sticking their hand up that glove and snapping the wrist of that glove. Like, I assume that doctors like could not wait to get their fingers in your pie. You know what I mean?
I think that's good. I think that was a good cultural moment where we just had, where we were all into putting fingers in the butt.
We were all into the fear of it. Like, men were like, oh, God. And of course, the second thing I think of is that news story I told you about that happened in Texas.
Oh, yeah, about the guy. Explain it.
Okay, well, you know what? I was going to let you explain it because I wanted you to have the particular joy of telling this story.
Oh, okay, listeners, so listen to this. Okay, so there's a guy in Texas that this doctor's like, you got to get an annual prostate exam. So he's like, yeehaw. So he bends over the table. The doctor comes over and sticks his finger up there. And the guy likes it so much, he comes. And he's like, oh, you made me gay. And then he shoots him with a gun.
He shoots the doctor dead. I don't know why he was armed. Fuck, all right, because it's Texas. Yeah, he was like, I'm so not gay that you're dead now. And he shot the doctor to death. So I was like, is this going to be the greatest pleasure of my life? Is this it? Is the rest of my life going to be about ass play now?
I've heard that. I've heard that once you...
Wait, what?
Once you started, then you... I heard it's really, really good.
Is that what you've heard?
Yes.
Okay, well, I have terrible news for you.
Oh, no.
So, like, the urologist, he does tell me to turn my head and cough, which I also thought was like a joke. I was like, that's it. That's like from The Simpsons or something. So he tells me to turn my head and cough. And then he does glove up. It was like the gentlest intrusion. I feel like he barely got any data at all.
He stuck like what? How many knuckles are we talking?
Like one or two, like let's say two knuckles deep on the index finger.
That's pretty deep in your ass, bro.
Like a double A bat. I assumed he would have to go elbow deeper. I don't know how these things work.
How much deeper? Okay, so there's three knuckles, and you said there were two in your butt. How much deeper?
Okay, well, first
like,
off,
okay, we're 66% of the way there. We only go a little. What are you wanting to get fisted? What did you think you were going to get fisted?
I genuinely assumed that he was going to turn me into Miss Piggy. Like, I thought, like, I was going to get Kermited. I don't know where the prostate is what it does.
You are so lucky you did not have an abusive doctor.
The only thing I know, I was like, I have to pee all the time. It must be cancer. My prostate must be made of cancer. And he goes, yeah, everything's fine back there. Okay, and also, I want to jump back to another thing. You keep saying two knuckles. The first knuckle is barely anything. The first knuckle is the fingernail. Okay.
Tell that to your anal sphincter.
I can't believe you're flipping this around on me. I can't believe you're flipping this. Here I am.
I can't believe you said you didn't get a finger in your butt when you got 66% of a finger in your butt.
All I'm trying to say is I thought it would be much. I thought they were going to have to, you know, it's kind of like when you drop something behind the bed, you know, like reaching and grabbing and grasping. I thought it was going to be like that. Barely anything. And then the urologist was like, there's nothing wrong with your prostate. It really does seem like the problem is that you're drinking sparkling water nonstop. Like, he was like, what if we try to cut you down to like 4 or 5 cans of sparkling water a day instead of the 13 that you're having? And I thought it was a good idea.
And you were like, thanks, doc. Can I get one more tap on the...
I did not ask for one more tap.
On the old grapefruit.
I did not ask for one more. And by the way, it's not a grapefruit. It's a baseball size. It's baseball size, which is how it's supposed to be.
Isn't that bigger than, wait, what's,
how big? A grapefruit is bigger than a softball.
There's no way your prostate is the size of a baseball. It has to be like a golf ball, right?
I don't know. I don't know, because look, okay, I'm really going to level with you. I'm going to level with the listeners too. I grew up in a different time, okay, listeners? Okay? Things have changed. We would not, when I was young, learning about your prostate was something that made you gay.
It still does. I'm sorry.
It does?
Yeah.
I don't know what to do now.
Listeners, does having a prostate make you gay? Can you call into the Lattice podcast and let us know?
I'm just saying it was, you wanted, ignorance was considered a virile virtue when I was in fifth grade health class. I remember what the Cowper's gland does.
I don't. What the hell is that?
The Cowper's gland is a small part of the prostate. That's like a little gym for your sperm. And apparently, like, the Cowper's gland, like, it acts as like a thickening and enriching agent for your semen.
Well, great. The mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
That too? Yes, exactly. Well, listeners, honestly, I had a lot of great topics planned. I wasn't anticipating this episode being entirely about bodily functions. But there's a debate that Rancho and I have been having for a while. And the debate is, have we talked about this on the Loudest podcast yet? Rancho, you think we have talked about the story you're about to tell us.
I'm sure we have. I'm sure I've read this exact post I'm about to read on this show, listener. I'm sure we have. I don't know if Asterios needs a CAT scan or you're suffering from early stage Alzheimer's, but the post that I'm about to read you, we have definitely read on the show, but I don't even care. I'm going to read it again because I laugh so hard. I randomly was reintroduced to this organically, like on Twitter or something, and I forgot how easy it is to make me laugh. This is a post on r/the10thdentist, which is the better r/unpopular. It's r/unpopular. It's what r/unpopular opinion was supposed to be, but I love diarrhea. Yeah, that is right. I love to have diarrhea. One of my favorite things to do is take a laxative on weekends when I have absolutely nothing to do and I know I'll be at the house all day. Sometimes when I can't wait the 8 hours a laxative will take, I'll do a saltwater flush. I'll be peeing out my asshole in 30 minutes. I've even found that 100% grapefruit will do the trick if I drink half a gallon a day. There are so many aspects of it that make it the best experience. The first aspect I love is the rush. Just going about my business and then all of a sudden I know I might poop my pants. That it is time to get to a toilet right now and nothing else matters. It's an adrenaline rush when the stomach starts to gurgle and you know you can't stop what's about to happen. I am totally at the mercy of my bowels. The second is simply the feeling. I love the feeling of relief I get in my stomach. The feeling of it rushing out of my butthole. And it is one of those good burn feelings in the butthole, too. I love that fiery butthole burn.
I don't remember that specific phrase being in this. I think I would remember if we ever said on the podcast the phrase fiery butthole burn. I would remember this.
Then when you go to wipe, it's kind of like you are scratching the ultimate itch. To put it simply, from start to finish, the feeling of diarrhea has multiple aspects that all feel good and all have their special place in my heart.
Is that the end of the post?
No.
Oh, God. Okay.
That's only the second aspect. I think there might be three or four total.
All right. Well, look, I'm going to start taking some of these points apart piece by piece real quick. I want to hear the rest of the post.
What do you mean take them apart? He's completely correct.
I mean, I think that's what I'm interested in is like how correct this guy is. This is a guy who's creating like a little countdown situation in his normal everyday day. He's like turned his life into Mission Impossible.
Right. It's like, you know how normal people turn something small into something big, and they're like you'll be going to work and you'll be like, oh, I'm so worried. You'll be freaking out over this project. It's like, yeah, who cares about this project? This guy apparently just doesn't have that in his life, so he needs to introduce it physiologically, just the artificial urgency and stress on his inner workings.
His life is so boring that he's gotta make himself shit. And also, if he can't poop fast enough, he puts salt. What is he doing with salt water?
He has a salt water flush, and he also drinks like half a gallon of grapefruit juice. He said that's disgusting. That's probably not good, right?
I don't know if you've even thought of this. What's a salt water flush?
I don't know.
Exactly. Is it drinking a cup of salt water to like make your body free? Because you know, like salt water is poison. You can't drink it.
Yeah.
Like, or is he like hooking up a bidet? Is he like filling like a hot water bottle with salt water and then putting a tube up there and then holding the hot water bag high and then moving the hot water bag real low?
Let's find out. I'm scrolling through the comments to see, but I don't see. This was posted a while ago and it looks like a lot of stuff has been removed.
I'm sorry.
I really wish I would know. The actual fuck. I really want to know what it's on. What does he do? Does maybe he's, I'm imagining when I hear saltwater flush, like him setting up a bidet-esque system, turning it on full blast and like making sure it penetrates. You know what I'm saying?
Well, again, and this may be because we have discussed this. What if he like takes a bottle of sparkling water, puts some salt in there, shake it up real good, and then kind of let it rip to get the bubble friends that you talked about 130 episodes ago.
Yeah, it's like, you ever see those videos on TikTok of that guy that like spins the beer and then drinks it? It's like you could do that with sparkling water and then whole.
I suppose you could.
So this is where he starts to lose me a little bit. The third aspect I love is the smell.
Okay.
It's like when you have a good fart and it stinks really bad and you kind of sniff it and you are like, dang, I just did that. The smell of diarrhea is like I just opened a sewer line right into my toilet and I love it. It's just a great scent to sit there and enjoy. For a minute, a nasty type of good that makes you feel a little dirty.
A little dirty? This guy's like sitting in a cloud of his own artificial diarrhea stink, and he's like, someone's being a little. You didn't have like two scones instead of one scone, okay? You're sitting in a shit cloud.
The fourth aspect would have to be looking at what came out. Just standing to wipe and looking at what you... Just standing to wipe and looking at what used to be a once perfectly clean toilet bowl.
This guy's toilet is never perfectly clean.
It's now black.
This guy's toilet is more diarrhea than porcelain.
Just black water with black splatter all around the bowl. I love to stand there and look and say, dang, look at all that stuff I just expelled from my body.
We've never read this on the show before. You're thinking, this whole time you've been thinking of the guy that got diarrhea on the airplane. That was a different diarrhea anecdote. You're crying right now.
There's a great feeling looking at it and knowing that you've just purged your body. To put it simply, I highly recommend diarrhea.
Okay.
So, I'm pretty sure we've read that, but it makes me laugh like that. Every single time I read that, it just doesn't lose its appeal ever.
It's
so well written.
It's a very well-crafted love letter to diarrhea. That's exactly what it is.
It's like poetic in a way. Like this guy varies his sentence. Like he really loves it. Like I believe this. I believe that this guy really does drink half a gallon of grapefruit juice. Honestly, I think drinking half a gallon of any kind of juice would induce diarrhea if you did it fast enough.
No, especially grapefruit juice though.
I'm pretty sure a half of a gallon is equal to two large McDonald's. Drink. That's how I measure liquid, is in cups, ounces, and McDonald's, large Diet Cokes. I'm pretty sure that's two large Diet Cokes. So if you drank both of them worth of grapefruit juice, worth of like cranberry juice, I feel like that would also give you diarrhea.
No, grapefruit juice, There's something special about grapefruit juice. It's super acidic. Like, if you put your nails, nail polish covered nails in grapefruit juice, you give them 15 minutes and your nail polish is gone.
That's what the people in the comments say, is don't drink that much grapefruit juice. You're going to fuck up your bowels.
That's what this guy wants. Now, look, this is what I really relate to about this guy's story, because it's very clear to me that this person is suffering from depression. And let me tell you how I know. And no, it's not that they're making themselves shit and then smelling the shit cloud all day and looking at the shit. Those are just signs of being based. One of the things I like about gambling is that it gives me something to look forward to. I've got a bet on the Niners this weekend. I want to know, are the Niners going to win? Are the Niners going to lose? Am I going to get my $5 back? Are my $5 gone? Like, I think that's why, like, depressed people like gambling. Like, it creates a little play for you to follow. That's like not your boring, dreary life. Similarly, this person is creating his own news with this diarrhea. He's given himself something to look forward to. The rush of running to the bathroom. The rush of finding a bathroom. Hoping that, like, the Starbucks bathroom works. It's like all that urgency and dopamine is like a nice replacement for, like, the sadness that's usually there. Dr. Rancho, thoughts?
Yeah, I think there's also, like, the pain beforehand, too. Like, I don't know about you, listener, but I used to go to the Korean grocery store all the time. And they have this tea there called Three Ballerina Tea. If you ever want to, like, shit your brains out, you have to buy Three Ballerina Tea from your local Korean grocery store. But, yeah, I would drink that, and I would kind of do what this guy was doing. But before you have the diarrhea, it's not like it just comes and waterfalls out of you most of the time. Like, if you're inducing it, you have to sit and you're on the toilet and you're in pain for a little bit. Like, you're in pain for a little bit, your bowels are cramping, and then finally it makes its way down and you're, like, rewarded for that suffering. So it feels like you've done something. Like, you know, like, you go to the gym, it hurts a little bit. So then you're sitting in your car, the drive home feels good. It feels kind of good. To just, like, the relaxation feels even better. So the diarrhea after the pain is, like, the highest you could go. You may not like it, but this is what peak human diarrhea looks like.
You're absolutely right. You're adding, like, a three-act structure to your day.
Yes.
The inciting incident. Okay, I guess that you drank half a gallon of grapefruit juice, which, you know, there you go. We've kicked off the action. The call to adventure is also the call to the bathroom. You know what I mean? And, like, that's the kind of, like, the fun twist on that.
The twist on your small intestine.
Yes, the twist.
As the grapefruit juice flows through it.
The torsion that you're placing on your intestine, that's another fun twist. And then it's like the will it or won't it. You know what I mean? It's like that's the second act dark moment where, like, is the hero going to win or is he going to lose? And then finally, the release.
The falling action, the diarrhea falls out of your ass.
Yes.
Chin.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. So much like Plato told caves on walls with stories on walls with caves. Yes. I don't know this.
No, go ahead.
I don't know
Sound
what I'm
it out,
referencing.
Baby. You're fine.
I
keep
don't
going.
Know what I'm referencing.
Just keep talking. You're
Look,
fine.
Much like Beowulf. Was our first protagonist.
Yeah, he wrote on cave walls, I bet.
This guy's our last protagonist, and he's writing on cave walls with something that I disagree with. I don't know why I relate to this diarrhea fiend so much, but I do. There's a really good chance none of this is happening. I mean, he's writing about it on Reddit. There's a really good chance that he was like, I bet I can come up with 5 good diarrhea jokes and make it go viral. Even if this is all made up, he's speaking to a larger human truth.
No, I believe this is 100% true. Like, everything he said, especially about the, like, the way he artfully described the bowl as being, like, previously pristine and now completely ruined, and the satisfaction that he gets from that, that felt way too real to have been faked. Like, if it was fake, what even is fake at that point? Like, this guy appreciated it enough to notice it and write it down, which is, like, I don't know, is that even, like, that was in his brain. Like, this didn't come from somewhere else.
You've given me a lot to think about tonight, Sarancha. What is truth? I can't believe you're having like a what is truth moment about the guy that poops so much, the water turns completely black.
And everybody in the comments is like, you are going to kill yourself. Please stop doing this.
You don't think he knows that on some level? It's like, you go up to a smoker, you're like, yeah, those things are to kill you. They're like, yes, I know. It's the same thing with this guy.
Does the archer fear his bow, or does he kiss each arrow as it marries the wind? What's that tweet about microplastics?
Well, I don't know this tweet. I don't even know what Plato did on that wall.
Whatever. Keep talking.
Oh, no, no. Look, let's wrap up the show. Okay, listeners, this is very important. We've got the next few stickers, and I'm so excited about them. You have until December 31st, you have until the end of the year, to pledge $15 or more to our Patreon at patreon.com/hysterios. And if you do, you will get not one, not two, but three stickers of my leg surgery.
Oh my God, yeah, it's just the leg. Like, it's the leg bone. And won't that be funny? Just like the leg, it's just the leg x-ray, right?
It's the, well, remember, now this was weird because I had the surgery in California, but I live in New York. The surgeons were like, we're going to take pictures of the surgery as it's happening so you can show those pictures to your orthologist in New York. So it's like active x-rays of my leg being drilled.
Oh, that's cool.
Active x-rays of screws being put into my knee.
Listener, that will look so cool on your laptop when you go back for the spring semester. Just like a broken bone x-ray sticker. That's going to look fucking lit.
Yeah. If you need a logo for your metal band, my knee is your logo. Take it with my compliments. And one of the three stickers you get will be holographic. Don't you worry about that, listeners.
Get bare minimum, like a Pokemon pack.
Yeah, look, I'm trying to find a way to make all three stickers holographic, but at least one of these stickers, at the very least, the grossest one will be holographic.
Excellent.
All right, so you got until the end of the year, December 31st, as you're kissing, you're looking in your sweetie's eyes and counting down from 10. Well, right around second six, you go to patreon.com/hysterios. You pledge $15, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're going to have the happiest new year ever with three stickers of my horrifying broken leg and the surgery it took to repair it.
Get it right now, patreon.com/hysterios.
And that's it for this for this week's episode of Loud's Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.